Well, welcome to another episode of the Jody Seeley Show podcast, continuing our amazing Albertan series. Now, on social media, I also host a daily virtual coffee club, and on Fridays, we have the opportunity to connect with a special guest. One of my most recent Fridays was with someone who I realized he needs to be featured as an amazing Albertan. He has been a first responder in our province for over 38 years. He's been a huge volunteer in the rodeo community and also in all communities that he lives in. I am so excited to feature Lynn Roberts.
This is so exciting. Lynn Roberts is with us. How are you, my friend?
I am living the dream in semi-retirement.
I don't know. Did your dream include a pandemic? Because you really should stop that.
Yeah. It didn't include that. No.
So I'm excited to chit-chat with you because I feel like you are one of the famous people in my life from the rodeo world. And I would see you at just about every single rodeo we would go to, and we'd always be like, there's Dr. Lynn. Now, I don't know if you're officially a doctor or not, but you're the closest thing to it in my world.
Well, I'm technically a primary care paramedic.
So pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
I don't know if like people with doctorates
Doctors would disagree. Doctors would disagree.
But I think when it comes to a paramedic on site at a rodeo, you are the doctor. You're the guy on scene that's there to help. And that's how you're looked at. So I think you kind of been called that for years, have you not?
Yeah. And every now and then they ask me to make a diagnosis. And sometimes it's easy, right? Mm-hmm. You think my arm's broke and it looks like a Z or a Z, whichever side of the border you're on, right? And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's broken. I think we need to do something about that. Or, no, I didn't bring my x-ray glasses today, so I can't tell.
I'm not super sure. But
yeah.
Now, how did you get involved in all of this?
Oh, long story. So I've been in the fire service longer than in EMS. So I was a year on the Tabor Fire Department, and then I was transferred by the oil company I work with to Olds. And I joined the Olds Fire Department, and I lived five houses down from the owner of the private ambulance service at that time. And when I was on the fire department, he'd say, I need a driver. I need a third person in the back or whatever. So he'd grab me. So then he ended up paying for my EMT, and the rest is history, I guess.
Wow.
How the rodeo part came about. In 1998, Dale Butterwick became the coach of Olds College rodeo team. He phoned me up on a Tuesday night and said, I'm running rough stock practice and I need, you know, a first aider. And I'm told that you're the guy that can do it for me. So I brought my little medical kit down there. And well, till 2020, I was doing medical standby at the college. So Tuesday night rodeo practice.
Yeah. So you've done kind of like the whole gamut. Like you've done paramedic on site from a practice all the way up to a world stage, like the Calgary Stampede, have you not?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. And every kind of rodeo in between.
That's right. So pro rodeos, bull ridings, done, you know, the Johansson Brothers Boys Steer Riding School. I've been doing that every Easter since they moved their school to Olds College. So yeah, I've done a few things. At a rodeo, an injury would not be my first day. So I've seen it before, probably.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's an interesting job that you go to work hoping you don't have to go to work.
Oh, that's my best day. That's my best when I just get to stand there and write down the scores on my program. Yeah. And go home, and that's my best day.
Yeah. And you've got to watch, like, you get the best seat in the house, really, at every single one.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, like, being at the college so long, you know, you get to know so many cowboys that going down the road, you go to a rodeo, they say hi, thank you. You know, that's kind of a nice little perk, right, that they appreciate you being there.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the interesting thing about that. Maybe people don't see as a fan or a spectator of rodeo, you don't get to see kind of some of the behind the scenes sort of pieces that you're involved with and the respect and politeness that comes from those athletes to you and people in positions of help. Like I've got to see those conversations happening before. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. I've only been told to, blank off once and it was a typical cowboy thing, right? He got bucked off and got hurt, so he's mad.
Yeah,
so he stomps off and he was leaking from the top of his head. so I said, you know, like come by the ambulance and I'll stop that. And he, you know, told me where to go.
Yeah,
whatever, I'm okay with that, right? So the rodeo, it was the bull riding, so the rodeo's over. We're just packing up our stuff. And his buddy comes over and says, hey, can you look at my friend? Like he, you know, he's, you know, bleeding a little, right? And I said, no, because he told me he didn't want to see me. He kind of told me where to go.
Yeah.
So the guy comes over and apologizes. And, you know, I look at him, you know, because I'm a nice guy. And I said, like, I didn't force myself upon you. I just said, you know, when you got a chance, come over, I'll look at it, right? Said, like, show some respect to the people that you expect to look after you. And I bet you from then on, he shows a little more respect to the emergency medical staff that are on scene at rodeos, right? Because, like, I wasn't in his face. I just said, hey, when you got a chance, I'll help you.
Exactly. So. Well, and you never know. You've probably watched a lot of our pros from old college level all the way up. Like, you've kind of watched a lot of our peeps grow up.
Absolutely. And I've also have made in my mind career decisions for some cowboys that I should have shared with them. Every now and then I have, right? There's been an odd kid that, like, he always having a wreck. And I'm like, have you tried team roping?
Yeah. Hey, son, here's a rope.
Yeah. That's right. Have you tried a vent where the horse doesn't buck? I don't know. Here's a thought.
Maybe you should write a book now that you're semi-retired. You could just be like thoughts from the sidelines or whatever.
That's right. Yeah. You know, and I say I'm semi-retired. So really the only job I have technically given up is Tuesday nights at Old College.
Yeah.
Because I live in Pincher Creek now.
Yeah.
I'm still doing safety audits. I joined the Pincher Creek Fire Department, which also runs the ambulance service. So I'm still doing that. Just that Tuesday night thing that's no longer happening in my life. So semi-retired.
Yeah. You just let one thing off your plate, which really one means thing. You put something else somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So an interesting combination. It's probably helpful having both. I mean, I think you probably get a little bit of each training from each, but having both your full fire training and your, I don't know, is it EMT or EMS training?
EMS training works, yeah.
So having both of them, it's probably, you'd be a guy that would be in high demand.
Yeah. When I came to Pincher Creek Hall and introduced myself to the chief and told him what my credentials were, he just handed me a pager that day. He said, here's your radio. We'll fill the paperwork out later.
Yeah. You're like, it's good to go. I don't even need to look at anything. You got this.
Yeah.
Well, and I just think, I just want to say thank you. I mean, and everybody can hit the like buttons right now for people like Lynn and everyone who takes a first responder role. That is not an easy one, my goodness. And we are just so grateful for everything you do. So thank you so much.
Well, I think, you know, the big thing that I see in it, like, is, I mean, I have the world's greatest partner in my wife. And here's a fun little story. So Valentine's Day, we'll have been holding hands for 43 years. So Valentine's Day, 43 years ago in Pincher Creek, we went to a dance. That was our first date. The Valentine's, the 4-H, Pincher Creek 4-H Valentine's dance at the Pincher Creek Community Hall was our very first date, yeah. 43 years ago.
Oh my God.
And we got married in 1980.
Yeah.
So been together a few years since that point, right? But
yeah. And her name's Cindy, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Cindy. She followed me on Twitter today, so I'm pretty excited. I was like, oh! Yeah, I'm more but excited about her than you, but hey, it's fine.
But she is my support. She's my rock, right? And that's what's kept me in emergency services so long is her, right? Yeah. She is, you know, and I think the mental health thing that we're talking about now is it's so important for first responders, medical people to have that inner support person. And it's not somebody that you spill your guts to, but it's that somebody that helps you, right? That you can talk to, that tells you, you know, that things are going to be better, all that, right? That's so important.
When I've heard that a lot in different conversations I've had with first responders over the year, that's probably the number one thing that people share is that support person in your life, whether it's your married person or a friend or a whatever else, like whoever it is, a support person is so key to, I guess, keeping you grounded and reminding you like that there's life outside of that situation that you're also dealing with.
Like when I joined the fire department 28 years ago, it was, we'd go to a bad scene and, you know, it'd be suck it up, buttercup, like, you know, get over it. Now we talk about it and we have peer support, which I'm on our peer support team down here in Pincher Creek, right? That is, you need that somebody to talk to. You can't let that stuff stay inside. Yeah, it'll eat you up.
Well, probably I would think in that profession for you, just seeing that, I don't know if I'd want to call it an advancement, but maybe in making mental health a really big key component to debriefing a scene more than just like talking about, okay, like here's the details, but the fact that there is that support and that peer support, that's come a long way for that industry.
You know, we see, you know, in fire and EMS, we see people having their worst day ever, right?
Yeah.
And we have to be able to deal with that so that we don't have our worst day ever later, right? That's the key.
100%. Do you feel like having over 30 years in that industry that it's taken a lot of toll on your mental health?
I don't think so. I don't drink. Like I don't have that as a crutch. We do have what we call, you know, black humor or graveyard humor, right? Yeah. That we do internally within the firefighters, which probably will always exist. But I don't think it's taken a toll on me. I think do I have PTSD? Probably. Have I dealt with it the correct way? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You cannot see the worst things ever that you're not supposed to see and not affect you, right? It's just, that's...
You'd be a robot. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what do you think about, I mean, I think it's an interesting, speaking of your, you know, your other passion that you've done in first responder in the rodeo world, like there's been a lot more conversation over the last few years about concussions and mental health and having mental health conversations in rodeo. And that's probably an area where you had cowboy up and suck it up, buttercup.
Oh man, I've seen so many dads like say to the kid, get up, suck it up. You know, it's a long way from your heart, you know, like, and it, you know, they're little steer riders, right? They get hurt and they get bucked off and it breaks their little hearts and their dads are just screaming at them. It's like, just give me a minute. Walk away. Will you, dads? I can chat with your kid.
Yeah. Take a breather, Papa. I got this. And then
I think that, you know, live like Ty, you know, the concussion stuff is huge, huge. Because, you know, in other sports, football, baseball, hockey, whatever, right? The concussion thing, they got the concussion protocol. They got a team doctor, you know, that sits them down. I mean, rodeo, who pays their wages when they're not rodeoing, right? Yeah. So that mental health thing, right, is huge. So getting the people to understand that, you know, you got a concussion, you got to take some time off.
Yeah.
I can tell you stories and name some names, but we can't do it on the air because that's confidentiality.
Yeah, we'll do it in the book.
And yeah. We'll change their names. Yeah. Yeah, we'll do it in the book. Yeah, we'll change their name to protect the innocent.
Yeah, but it happens. I mean, I think that we can't change what people have said or done in the past. All we can change is how we deal with it in the future. And I think that somebody like yourself, who's a big advocate of that, just helps that become, because you could be the old dog who didn't want to learn a new trick, but you weren't. Right. You were somebody who wanted to embrace that.
Right. And concussions have forced some cowboys to change their careers, right? Mm-hmm. They've changed from being a rough stock person to being a team roper, yeah, right? Because of their concussion issues.
Yeah. So. Or then they become rodeo clowns. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, or announcer. Rodeo or announcer. Yeah.
When you can't do those jobs. Yeah.
That's right.
As we will drink to that. Cheers. Daryl Robertson, speaking of rodeo clowns, says that you've done an amazing job for cowboys over the years of practicing at the college. Thank you, sir.
So. Well, thank you, Daryl. I still do rodeos. I mean,
well, we won't be able to keep you away. That's impossible.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Mean, rodeo, right. It's like rodeo. Once it's in your system, you can't get it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
At all. And yeah, we've had too much of a break with 2020. So it's time. Oh. Now, I know we've talked a little bit on the dark things you've seen. What's a couple of highlights from your career, whether it be in the first responder side or at a rodeo, or what are some of the joyful things that you remember?
Joyful things?
Yeah.
Oh, Well, I mean, as a first responder, I guess some of the joyful things is, you know, like the saves that we do make, you know, like going to a house fire that we get called quick enough and we put it out. And, you know, as we've had a couple of Christmas Eve calls when I was in Olds that we've gone to a house fire and put the fire out, but the pet family's got to get out of the house. But, you know, in our breeding apparatus, we got all our Christmas presents that were still under the tree, or the ones that were hidden in mom's closet, you know, whatever, and got them out for them so they could have Christmas. So they could still have Christmas, but they could still have Christmas because
you saved some of those pieces. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a rodeo is, I guess, is just helping out, right? Just helping out.
Well, and when you get to watch somebody that maybe you've got to know from being there on a consistent basis, right? Like when you get to see them have a great ride or a great run or a cool win, like you kind of feel like you're a part of it with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite moments, and I always cherish this, was Winston Bruce. I did a couple of bronc riding school that Winston put on, you know, in his last few years. And he'd, Lynn, come sit beside me. And what do you think of that ride? He'd ask me my thoughts on the ride. And I'm like, I'm not a saddle bronc rider, Winston. He said, you know, Lynn, you've been to a lot of rodeos. You know what a good ride is and what a bad ride is. And that, you know, that kind of made my heart feel really nice, right? That Winston Bruce, you know, world champion, asked me what I thought.
Well, so there you go. You could retire as a rodeo judge. Isn't that where the other cowboys go to die? Yeah.
Ah, that's right. Well, I usually say my score in my head. Right?
Yeah,
I'm usually pretty close to what the judges put together for a score. So,
okay, next rodeo we're at, we're gonna text each other scores, and we'll see who's the closest.
Okay, that sounds like fun.
It'll be a fun game. Mike says he thinks that you've drank more coffee at rodeos than anyone he knows.
There is that. Yeah. And pie. Oh my! Oh. I love working the Sundry Rodeo.
Yeah.
Because like a Saskatoon pie from the concession by the chutes. Oh my goodness! Oh.
Have you ever been out to Hand Hills?
You know, I've never been to I've been to Hand Hills, but I've never been to the Hand Hills Rodeo. Never.
Okay, if you love pie, my friend, please, if like fingers crossed that it happens this year, you have to come to Hand Hills Rodeo and eat that pie. That is the best pie I have ever had.
I'll drive 1,000 miles for a good piece of pie. I will.
Strawberry rhubarb one, and it has this crumbly top, and I dream about it all year long. Like, I can't wait. I've said to Mike, I don't know what you have to do, but you have to make sure we never lose the Hand Hills Rodeo gig, because I don't know what to do without that pie.
Linden. Go to the Country Cousins at Linden.
Okay.
For their peanut butter pie.
Oh, I love peanut butter. Now we're just gonna get hungry.
Oh, the peanut butter pie from the Country Cousins in Linden. Oh,
you gave them a special shout out online today. I feel like they owe you a free piece of pie now.
Lord, that is the best pie. Oh.
Butter pie. All right.
I'm not going to lie. I may have bought a pie or two in Sundry and put it in the ambulance to take home for later.
Yeah, I would
say whole pie. A whole pie.
And I'd be like, you drive. I'm going to lay in the back and eat the pie. I want to come on the pie ride along, okay?
if I could leave any, a statement that put on my tombstone, it would be, there's always time for a piece of pie.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate so much you taking some time to have a coffee with us today. We appreciate it so very much.
Wouldn't have missed it for the world.
It's so much fun. We're going to have you on again.
Absolutely.
And we'll have pie. Somehow, the next time we do it, I'll get a pie delivered to you and I'll have one and we'll have pie on the show.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Thank you again for tuning in to the new series called Amazing Albertans on the Jody Seely Show podcast. Once again, a big thank you to the creator of the theme song for this show right now called We Are Alberta, Mr. Dustin Farr. Thank you, my friend. A huge shout out as well to our producers from Limelight Audio and Media for making this show possible.
We are